Think about it. There must be a higher love, down in the heart or hidden in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart and I'll look inside of mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what's fair? Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Where's this higher love I've been thinking of? Of course, those are the words of Whitney Houston. That is the burning question of her heart. Bring me a higher love. And it's the burning question of people everywhere throughout the world. In a world full of self-love, free love, love island, and in a world full of people who put fantasies and images and objects, they love those things above real people. And in a world where lovelessness prevails most of the time as well, where there's increased hatred and polarization. Where is this higher love? There must be a love that is higher, that is beyond all these kind of superficial, lesser forms of love. Well, John's answer in the John's first book's first letter, his answer is that higher love can only come from God, can only come from Him. He is the source of a higher love. Love is His divine energy. Love is His energy. God loves things into being, including the entire universe. In fact, two times in this passage that we're looking at tonight, John says God is love. He is the higher love that the world is looking for. He's not like love. He's not similar to it. He is love. He is the inventor of all loves, and in Himself, He is that love. But God, for most people, is like the wind. You can't grab hold of Him. You try to catch Him. You try to catch this higher love and you can't do it. So where do we find Him? Where do we find it, this love? Well, John believed that the only place that you can find this love right now is in the community that God is presiding in. And that's the church, right? That's you and me. But that's exactly the last place that most people think they're going to find a higher love these days, in the church. No way. So I really think it's God's will that we change that perspective quickly amongst the people who are searching for this higher love. We change their minds about it. We show them that this is the place in which they find it. We are the place, the people in which they find this higher love. Now, this letter of John, as we looked at last week, was written right at a pivotal point in the roots of the Jesus movement. The temple had been destroyed in Jerusalem. It was long gone. So the Jewish Christians and these house churches, they were feeling disconnected from their past and uncertain about their future. And so all these kind of factions started to arise amidst these house church communities. And all these lesser loves from the culture around them, all these lesser loves started to seep in to these Christian communities, started to erode the true love. Some of these loves that were creeping in was like the Greek word eros, which is what we get erotic from. It's passionate, romantic love that can be twisted and distorted very quickly. And there were all these other forms of love as well, not bad in and of themselves, but they are a lesser form of love. They're not the divine love that John says typifies who God is. That is agape. That's the Greek word agape. That is the word associated with God, agape. And John uses that word 32 times in this passage alone, which is insane. He's using it because he's desperately trying to preserve its potency amidst these early Christian communities that he's writing to. And we need to preserve the potency of it as a world today. Absolutely. So in this black and white tone, just like how we talked about light and darkness in the first couple of chapters, John paints a picture in a very John way. He's such like a straight shooter. He says things like, if the love of God isn't in you, then you're not the children of God. Things that kind of like stick at you and like that hurts. But John uses this straight shooter kind of way because he's desperate to get the church everywhere to understand what he's saying. So in this very John way, he paints a picture of two church communities. One that is connected to the divine love, the agape love, and one that isn't. Okay? So this is what John in these chapters describes as the community, this hypothetical community that is not connected to God's love. This is what a community looks like that is without his love. So a community like that, if you stumbled into it, you would see hate. And he talks about this is the kind of hate that caused Cain in Genesis to covet his brother Abel with so much jealousy that it sucked all the love out of their close brotherly relationship. It caused Cain to hate Abel and to murder him. That's the kind of love, the kind of hate John's saying is would be part of a community without God's love. You would see death, spiritual death, in a community like that. So essentially not Christians. You would see people shut off from one another's needs. People just scrolling past each other, even though they might be in the most desperate situation. Just like we might scroll past somebody pouring their heart out on Instagram or Facebook. They're completely unempathetic. These people would be all talk and no action. They would be full of falsehood. They would be full of spirits of confusion and spirits of the Antichrist, anti-Jesus. They do not know God. They might say that they know God, but they don't. They don't know him. And they will be dictated, this community would be dictated to by fear. Fear of what other people think of them. Fear, this unhealthy fear of God. Fear of the world around them. As I was looking at this list, I thought, maybe people these days think that this kind of thing would be characteristic of the church today. That this is what they'd find in the church. I hope not. Because that to me just looks like the world around us. But John contrasts this kind of community. Go that way. He contrasts this community with a community that is deeply connected to the source of all love, God. This community is full of life, eternal life, now happening. Pouring out life to one another. It's full of compassion to one another's needs. It's full of self-sacrifice that echoes what Jesus did for us. This no sense of self-preservation, just like, I'm going to give my life for you. It's full of action, not just talk. It's full of truth, not confusion and falsehood. When you look at this community, that community will be shown to be God's children and he their father. They actually know God. They don't just pretend to. They obey the commands of Jesus. They look like Jesus, like mini Jesus is walking around. And there is no fear. In fact, whenever fear creeps into a community that's connected to God's love, it's driven out. It's driven out. So those are the two communities that John is contrasting. One of those communities, the one not connected to God's love, is like a dreary, miserable day. And the other community connected to God's love is like a perfect sunset. One is like drinking pool water, and the other is like an aged wine of wonder. You just can't compare them. They're so different because the community that does not know God's love has been infiltrated and influenced by the world. The one connected to God's love has been infiltrated and influenced primarily by God. Now, this stuff is just like, this is Christianity 101. This is like the core of Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. But does this typify or describe you? Does it describe your discipleship group? Does it describe our church community now? Hopefully. Hopefully, if God's love is at the core, it does. But that's Christianity 101. We need to be doing those things. We cannot let the influence of the world, these weak forms of love and hatred, seep into us. John says it clearly in chapter 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. At my old place in Engadine, I had a huge gum tree. And in spring, the gum tree produced all these beautiful flowers. And all these bees arrived from everywhere, all over, to drink of the nectar from these beautiful flowers on the gum tree. But one year, we noticed that as we got further into spring, a lot of these bees started to drop to the ground of our backyard. First, there was just a few of them, like dropping to the ground, either dying or dead. Then it grew to like 100, and soon there was like 1,000 dead bees all over our backyard. It was like this bee massacre. It was like something out of a nightmare, an Alfred Hitchcock movie or something. So we were like, what on earth is going on? This plague of dead bees. Our children were stepping on them and getting stung. It was horrendous. So I called in these two beekeepers to come and try to sort out what on earth was going on. And they said that the gum tree, had been poisoned at some point, which caused the nectar on the flowers to, when the bees drank the nectar, it intoxicated them. So it almost made them drunk. So that they completely got disorientated, they forgot where they were, and so they dropped to the ground, they couldn't use their wings anymore, and then they died of thirst. That's what was happening. And I thought about that image, and I think in this image, the tree is the world. The tree is the world, and the nectar from the flowers of that tree are the images and ideas that are produced by the world, our secular culture, these lesser forms of love, like objectification of other human beings. Pornography comes from that. Sex outside of the covenant relationship of marriage is part of that nectar. Self-love, this narcissistic form of self-love, where you are the god of your own universe. Superficial loves, like loving people based on their profile, loving people based on whether or not they're beautiful, aesthetically beautiful, or successful. All those things are alluring, right? And Christians from all over fly to the tree of the world and drink from the nectar of these lesser forms of love. And it twists our thinking, it damages our thinking. It moves us further and further away from the teachings, these 101 teachings of Jesus. And we don't just fly off and then kind of die of thirst on our own. The difference is we drink of the nectar of the world and we bring it back to the hive and we poison the hive. We bring it back into the church community and we spread the world's influence in that space. You see how that corrupts this potent love that God is wanting us so desperately to show to the world. But a community that understands who God is, understands that He is the higher love. They don't fly to the tree of the world, they fly first to God's fountain, the fountain of love. We drink from the fountain, we drink from the Gospels. It's like what the old hymn says, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. We fly to God and we bring Him and His love back into the community. That's why John says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So how do we rekindle this higher love in the church so that people don't think it's the last place they're ever going to find it? How do we rekindle it? Where should we look to? We need to look up. We need to lift our eyes and look to Jesus. John is so, so clear about that. In 1 John 3:16, he says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Then he says it again in chapter 4, verse 9. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. I know that's getting annoying, but I'm just trying to make the point. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Look to Jesus, the feet washer, the enemy forgiver, the one who reached out to hated Samaritans and healed unclean, dejected people in the first century society, the one who touched lepers, and the one who hung on the cross and felt nails pierce his nerves for our sake. The one who, while we were still sinners, died for us. While we were still actively rejecting him, he died for us. You cannot even put a love like that into words, but we must look to Jesus, because the church, you and I, are called to imitate that crazy love. John says again, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." That just means no one can see God, but the way in which people will most clearly see God today, see this higher love without actually seeing God in the flesh, is through what you and I do. We are his body. That's why Teresa of Avila wrote this poem: "Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body." We are his body. So how do we just love like Jesus loved? Do we just squeeze this love out of somewhere, in and of ourselves? No, we can't do it ourselves. We need him. We need love himself in us, occupying us. But if you actually surrender to this universe crafting, radical, unconscionable, amazing love, it transforms you from the inside out. Like all of you, all this gunk and stuff comes up because God rushes his powerful, life-changing love through you. So it's a deep experience. And C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, he tried to kind of explain what this transformative experience actually is like. He said that everybody who's ever been created, every person on the planet, have been designed to have two forms of love, two natural forms of love in them: a need love and a give love. The need love is just our natural desire to need love from people, from things, to fill that void in us, fill that hole. Sometimes we fill them with okay things, but most of the time we fill them, these needs, with pseudo fake versions of God, the idols, pretty much, these fake gods. But we also have give loves. These are just our natural desire to give love to people and things. Sometimes through the generosity of our hearts and minds, but a lot of the time it's just to get some sort of personal gain back. We give to causes that I care about. We give our love to images on a screen. We give our love to people and elevate them to this place that only God should be at. We keep doing it and doing it. Now, every person on the planet has need loves and give loves. But C.S. Lewis is saying, when the divine love crashes into your world, connects, when God connects his spirit with your spirit, those loves get completely transformed. They become supernatural loves. These are loves that only Christians can actually give, right? You get a divine need love. You have suddenly a supernatural need, not just for people's love, but for God's love. You get a spiritual palate for the heavenly things. You thirst after God like the psalmists did. You thirst after him. You want to be in his presence. You're desperate for him. Then you also get a supernatural divine give love, a desire to give love, not just to people who have a great profile on Instagram, not just people who look beautiful or pleasing to you, or people who you might get something from in return. You have a supernatural ability to give love to the unlovable. The people who you wouldn't dare love if you were just working out of your own flesh. That's why Jesus could love people who nobody in his society loved. He did it because he had God's transformative give love flowing through him. That kind of love virtually doesn't exist in this world, and it can only operate through Christians. We're also given this supernatural desire to give love to God. It doesn't even need our love, but he allows us to want to give love to him, to glorify him. And when we look at the transformed need love, something else changes in us. We're suddenly able to accept God's love, either from him or flowing out of other Christians. Sometimes it can be a hard thing to accept that somebody is loving the unlovable parts of you. We only want them to love the lovable parts of us. We hide all of our junk, all of the wounds that we have, all of our sin, we hide it and we only present to the world what we want them to love. But to actually be loved for all of you, to almost just be like naked and vulnerable and to still be loved, even in all your insecurities, that is a deeply transformative experience. I don't often get teary or cry much, but yeah, a few weeks ago, I had a moment with my wife, Lacey, where it just dawned on me that she loved me through and through with this incredible God-empowered type of love, and it made me undone. It brought me to tears that she would love the unlovable parts of me. That's what happens when you're in touch and connected to the God of love. You're completely transformed. And John is adamant that the church give ourselves over to God, surrender to him so that he can do his work in us, so that we can bring that higher love to the world. Practically, how do we do that? In this space of lockdown at the moment, drink from the good nectar of God, love himself, go to him, fly to him, open up the pages of the gospel, drink in the things that Jesus did and taught. Look at love on display in the person of Jesus. Meditate on it. Drink it in. Do not fly to the world. Do not let them define what love is for you. Go to Jesus. Secondly, John keeps saying, love one another. Practice this amongst the brothers and sisters. He doesn't say, at this point, go and demonstrate this love to non-Christians. That's fine to do, but at this point, John is trying to say to these church communities, why don't you focus on showing this love to other Christians? Because he knew how important it was that we get to feel what it's like to experience this transformed give love from other people, that we actually experience what it's like to, from other Christians, flowing out God's radical love to be loved even in our unlovable parts, and feel like what it's like to give love to other Christians who we know are going to receive it. And as we do that amongst the brothers and sisters, amongst the body right now, people will be drawn to that because it will stick out like a light in the darkness. We have limited ways to do that right now, but we need to harness every mode of communication that we possibly can. Texts, messages, phone calls, do whatever we can, send cards to people, drop off packages. We've got to do it. We need to right now demonstrate this radical higher love just to the people in our Christian community, and it will stand out. Lastly, like, we know that right now is a time of immense fear. People are feeling so fearful everywhere, completely driven apart from one another because of that fear. But John says fear is driven out of a community that loves with the higher love of Christ. He says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out that fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The more we experience God's love in our midst, the less there will be any fear. Fear will be driven out. How important is it that we embody, we become the hands and feet of Jesus right now in a world that is so fearful? They need to see this love. Think about it. There must be a higher love, down in the heart or hidden in the stars above. Well, it's not in the human heart. We can't conjure up this love in and of ourselves. And it isn't hidden in the stars. But the craftsman of the stars came down and made it known. And now love himself resides in the heart of every redeemed person connected to him. We're going to take communion in a few moments, but right now, Amy and the band are going to play this beautiful song. And as they do that, maybe you just want to enter into a space. You might have kids running around, or I don't know what your environment is like right now in your home. But if you can, enter into a space. Maybe you just want to put out your hands and just go, God, I want to drink from your fountain. May I feel your love today. Flow through me, Lord. Heal my union with you. May I feel the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that loved the universe into being. May I feel the love that put Jesus on the cross for me. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to be your body. I want to know your higher love and bring it to the world. Amen.